Ty, I'll take some advisement on that, because we begin with an altogether more serious story and an altogether more serious question. How does this happen? How did this happen? The so-called VIP child sex abuse inquiries continue, with detectives revealing yesterday, I kid you not, 76 politicians, 43 figures from the music industry, 135 individuals from the world of TV, film or radio, and some 7 stars of sport. Adding up to 261 VIPs out of a total of 1,400 men investigated. I don't quite know what that means, whether they've had their collar felt or their door knocked, or whether they've just been sort of featured on a list somewhere that is being scrutinised. But some 1,400 men investigated, including 261 VIPs, which, just for a moment to pause, gives us an indication, doesn't it, of why the wheels are moving so slowly. I mean, it's probably a little bit irresponsible, this, but when Theresa May yesterday tried to put the boot, actually successfully put the boot into police officers, really called them out on crying wolf and insisted that she will continue to cut their numbers despite them warning us that it will compromise our safety, you look at a story like this and you begin to wonder whether justice will ever be achieved, don't you? I mean, there's so many of them and there's fewer and fewer police officers around. And and I, again, have to choose my words carefully for legal reasons rather than medical ones. It would seem to me that if you want an epic police effort put into an investigation, you would be better off having your safety deposit box stolen than your child raped. If you want to judge what appear to be the priorities for investigation and policing, it would seem to me in Britain in 2015 that you're better off having some baubles pinched than you are having a child abused. I don't know if that's true or not, but I make no apology for saying it out loud because, well, it makes me want to weep, and I know it makes you want to weep as well. And we made a decision together, you and I, about 2 years ago, that we would continue to talk about this until either I was handed my sandwiches wrapped in a roadmap and invited to sling my hook from LBC Towers, or until you reached for the off switch. Whatever happens first, because I'm not going to stop talking about it. I'm just not going to stop talking about it. I don't care who is uncomfortable about the conversations. I don't care who wants to look the other way. I don't care who wants to stick their head in the sand. It's just incredible. And yet, at the same time, all too believable. So let's start with that question. Phone lines are already open. If you haven't joined us for a conversation about this issue before, we don't do it in the way that we do the other ones. We certainly don't set it up with any sense of polarity or argument. This is actually what radio was invented for. This is baffled, confused, angry, frightened people talking to each other in the hope of bringing some light into the darkest corners of our shared society. That's why we're here. It's easy to forget that some days. We do. I do. You do. But actually, trying to shine a little bit of light into the darkest corners of life is a large part of why I get out of bed every morning. 178 people from the business in which I work, 76 people from the world upon which we commentate, 178 showbiz figures, 76 politicians. First question of the day. Do you feel more or less confident of justice being achieved than you did when we first started talking about these things? And I'll tell you exactly when we first started talking about them. It was in about 2012 when the victims of Jimmy Savile started to come forward in numbers that nobody could have predicted. That took a lid off something for reasons I still don't fully understand and arguably never will. But since that moment in British history, we have slowly seen an emergence of a series of allegations on a scale that nobody would have predicted or believed 10 years ago, or hardly anybody would have done. So as the story moves on, as the wheels turn, as despicable incidences of institutional failure, such as the Greville Janna situation, continue to pull us in one direction, perhaps towards scepticism, and the hard work of some journalists and politicians pulls us in the other direction towards justice, what do you reckon? You read a story like this, or you hear on the radio, 178 people from showbiz, 76 people from politics, 1,400 men in total, 261 so-called VIPs. Do you begin to think it's actually too big for the truth ever to be told? 0345 6060973, or, and I hope you feel this way, or that the momentum now is so great that it could never go away, However much the establishment, whatever that ludicrous word means, and my God, how I wish that certain politicians hadn't completely destroyed its meaning in order to curry short-term political favour, but the establishment, the shady men at the top of our society who pull strings and operate in ways that the rest of us can never understand. If they're hoping this is going to go away, seems to me these sort of numbers mean it never will. But I don't know. I've just one pair of eyes, just one perspective, and I'm more interested this morning in yours. And the second question to which I would like to direct your attention is, of course, the most important question of all. How do you think it happened? I was chatting with some colleagues this morning. How can we have this conversation in a way that won't, you know, depress the hell out of all of us? How do you do it? How do you do it? And I think I know the answer. How did this happen? How can? Because obviously of these 1,400 men who've been investigated, it's fairly likely that they're not all guilty, but I bet you most of them are. So how would a lid be kept on a series of behaviours so widespread and so vile? That's the thing, isn't it? That's where you struggle. It's where I struggle. How could you keep this lid on? How could you keep this lid on this scandal for so long? And I think the answer is incredibly simple. I really do. I know we've been worrying about this, or worrying at this, for years together now. But I think the answer is incredibly simple. Do you think the answer might just be tiny? Instead of looking at this massive, massive scandal and saying, how the hell did they keep a lid on this for so long? Look at the little ones that you know about. In my case, it was my prep school. We knew about it. How did the lid stay on that one episode, that one abuser, that one pervert? That's the answer to the question of how they kept the lid on hundreds of them, isn't it? It's hundreds and hundreds of little ones. It's hundreds and hundreds of individuals. So the photography stroke sport stroke history teacher at my prep school who was abusing my classmates, and we knew. We knew. Why did we keep a lid on that? Well, because we were 12. Okay. If adults also knew or suspected, why didn't they do anything about it? Answer, I think, and I know this sounds odd, but I think the answer is actually fear of making a fuss. The crimes occur in darkness, don't they? To shine a light into that darkness, especially if you're not the victim yourself, but just a suspicious passerby, a suspicious observer, a colleague, a friend, that takes some nerve. And I think we've missed that. I think to suspect or even to know that something awful is going on does not, in the real world, translate immediately into blowing the whistle or reporting. I think we need to be a little bit more honest with each other. Because I don't think that there is some massive institutional cover-up in the sense that we've been led, perhaps, to suspect. I think, and I can't wait to hear what you think, but I think at the moment what we're looking at is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tiny, tiny cover-ups that gel together to create this epic national situation. So why? Why don't people blow the whistle more often? Why didn't you?